Thank you. Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here on this beautiful day. I know it's a little cooler than we're used to, but I actually enjoy that, so praise the Lord for that. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to sing some songs and worship God for a while. That's always an important thing to do, because the word worship, what that means, it means to give your heart to the Lord, and that's what we need to do this morning and each and every day. Praise the Lord. So we are going to worship Him, but before we do anything, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here. We know, O God, that it is Thy Spirit that directs, and we know that we are here today because of Thee. We ask, O God, for Thy anointing today upon this service. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us. We ask for the Holy Ghost to guide and direct us, we pray today. And we ask, O God, that Thou would truly inspire us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. All right, we are going to start with number 178 in the hymnal, Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, in this I see, He's a great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. I'll follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus hath shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is He, He's a great example, is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where He leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. List to His loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in His promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where He leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. If you need some direction in your life, just follow Jesus. People will say that sometimes. I feel aimless. I need some direction. Well, you have to follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's how you know you're going the right way. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 210 and sing Victory Ahead, number 210. Israel, led by my God, on the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead, victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. David with a shepherd's sling and five stones met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. And he prayed unto the Lord thrice each day, then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Often with the carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. With those who've gone before to that land, by death's river cold and dark I shall stand. Trusting in the Lord, I will not fear or dread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. We do have victory through the Lord Jesus. He won that victory for us. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 294 and sing Victory in Jesus, 294.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Victory in Jesus. Oh, our God.
I heard an old story. Our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise the Lord. The Lord. I am so thankful for that victory we have through Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 121 and sing Just Over in the Glory Land.
Oh, get us to see it, Lord. Get it more of Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, the Lord.
A home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory. Just over in the glory land, and with kindred saved there forever be. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just land, therewith the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. With the blood washed throng I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, therewith the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, therewith the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. Praise the Lord.
All we long to be with the Lord Jesus, we long to be with you, Jesus.
God, praise the Lord. Well, I know we're all looking forward to that. Glory to God. And what we'll do now is take up the collection. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power. We thank Thee that Thou hast blessed us so much over these years and that Thou hast given us this place and enabled us to be here. For we know that we would be completely lost and helpless without Thee, and we know that it is by Thy mercy and Thy grace that we are here today. We thank Thee, O God, for these gifts. And we pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here today, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. We are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. Number 195, We Shall See the King. 195. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, we shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done or go away? Never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? Crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, we shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's time to get started in the Word, and it's always a wonderful thing to do. And before I do that, though, I want to mention that some of you may not know this, but it is the 41st wedding anniversary of Chuck and Carla today, so congratulations to you both. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. 41 years. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. We are going to be getting into the Word now. And of course, last week we finished Genesis. And of course, that was a wonderful thing to go through that book. And I learned a lot, and I hope you all learned a lot too. And today we're going to be doing something a little different from that. I'm going to call this message today, Occupy Till I Come. And we're going to be starting in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter. But before I read even one verse, I do want to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, seeking Thy guidance and direction. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst open our hearts and make us ready to receive Thy Word. Give us the understanding we need to comprehend what Thy Word tells us, to know what Thou art trying to tell us today. O Lord, we trust in Thee, we believe in Thee, and we believe that Thou wilt guide us. Anoint this service, we pray. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Let Thy Spirit be upon each and every one of us. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I said earlier, we're going to be starting in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. And I'm calling this message, Occupy Till I Come. And of course, you know, that's a common saying. We hear it a lot. But some people might not fully understand what it means or where that saying actually came from, and you can find it in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. And we're going to start with verse 1. And in verse 1 of the 19th chapter, Jesus, he's coming down the road, and there's a man who wants to see him. A man who must have had great faith, and that's wonderful, because he went to great lengths so that he could see the Savior. In Luke chapter 19, verse 1, it tells us, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." He was chief among the publicans, and of course, publicans, they had a lot of money. He was very rich, this one. Something else that we know about this man, he was also very short. It doesn't tell us exactly how short he was, but we do know that he couldn't see above the crowd that he was in. He wanted to see Jesus. And verse 3 tells us, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." That means he wasn't tall. He was a short man. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." So we heard Jesus was coming, and he said, "I gotta see Jesus. I've gotta see Jesus." So what did he do? He climbed a tree. That's great faith. Do whatever it takes to see Jesus. Amen. We need to learn from that. Whatever it takes, we need to see Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." You know, Jesus came that way, and he already knew what Zacchaeus had done. He knew Zacchaeus was in that tree, and he looked up. He told him, "Come down from there. I'm coming to your house today." Praise the Lord. Remember the day that Jesus came to your house? Praise the Lord. What a joyful event. "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest, to be guest with a man that is a sinner." So instead of seeing this joyful event for the good that it was, the people, they looked around, people in that crowd, and they murmured, and they said, "He's gone to be a guest with a sinner." And you know, Jesus, he did spend a lot of time with publicans and sinners and so forth. And that's something that a lot of people like to bring up today. They say, Jesus, he was a friend to sinners. He spent a lot of time with them. But what they fail to mention most of the time is that these people did not remain sinners after they interacted with the Lord Jesus. Zacchaeus sure wasn't going to stay a sinner. He was a changed man after being in the presence of Jesus. So just because Jesus spent time with sinners, that's no excuse to excuse sin, as so many people like to do today. You can kind of see how people misinterpret and twist scriptures around. But this is a wonderful thing. Clearly God had been working on this man's heart, and Jesus came, and he climbed up on that tree. He wanted to see Jesus. And as a result of that, Jesus saw his great faith, and he told him, "I'm coming to your house." Verse 8 tells us, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Zacchaeus was a changed man. He said, "I'm giving half of everything I've got to the poor." Praise the Lord, that's quite a thing to do. And he said, "If I cheated anyone, by false accusation, I'm going to restore to him fourfold. I'm going to give him four times as much as I took from him. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Praise the Lord. If we see here the pronouncement from the Lord Jesus that salvation had come to this man's house. What a wonderful thing. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that he came to seek and to save us? We were all lost at one point in time, but he sought us and he bought us with his blood. Praise the Lord. Continuing on in Luke 19 in the 11th verse, Jesus is going to tell a parable. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Now, a lot of these Jews at the time, what they thought was going to happen, Jesus, they thought, was going to overthrow the Roman Empire and establish a super Jewish kingdom that would reign over all the rest of the world. That's what a lot of them thought, but that's not what Jesus came to do. That wasn't the plan. And apparently a lot of them thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear at that very moment. And Jesus here is going to tell them a parable. Verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And in case you're wondering, yes, that certain nobleman to whom he is referring is himself, the Lord Jesus. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now that's where I took the title for today's message, occupy till I come. And there seems to be some confusion about what that phrase means. What it means by occupy there, it means keep busy. Keep busy until the Lord Jesus comes back. And we all need to do that. We all need to be busy working for the Lord. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And aren't people that way today? Aren't there people out there who refuse to let Jesus reign over them? Well, they might refuse, but he is Lord of all anyway. He is King of Kings, and everyone's going to bow before the Lord Jesus. Verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So this nobleman returned, and he wanted to know, well, what did you guys do while I was gone? What were you working on? What were your projects? What did you gain in my absence? Verse 16 tells us, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. He didn't do anything. He just kept that pound, wrapped it in a napkin. He didn't do a thing. And we see here that this sorely displeased this nobleman. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. So in other words, he's telling him, you could have at least taken that pound and put it in the bank and let it gain a little interest, but he didn't even do that. He was terrified to do anything, and that was a problem. He just wrapped it in a napkin, and when this nobleman came back, which we understand to be the Lord Jesus, he just gave it back to him. Hadn't done a thing. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." So we see here, there's going to be drastic consequences for those who refuse to have the Lord Jesus reign over them. But we also see that there are consequences for inaction. We know that the scriptures tell us faith without works is dead. What are you going to do with that faith that the Lord Jesus gave you? That gift of faith, you got to do something with it. You got to bring forth good fruit.
Amen.
Some people, they don't want to do a thing with it. And, you know, faith without works, what that's referring to, what that means is good works are a byproduct of faith. If you have faith, it will bring forth good works.
Amen.
Those good works are a demonstration of your faith. We know that it's not our good works that save us. We're saved by faith through the Lord Jesus. But we also understand that there will be good works if we have faith. So we see here that we must not be inactive. We must bring forth good fruit. We must serve the Lord to the very best of our ability. And what I want to do now is go to Matthew 25. We're going to read this chapter too. And a little bit further on down, we're going to see a very similar story to the one we just read. But the important lesson we must learn from this chapter is that we always need to be ready for the coming of the Lord, because it could be at any time. And we see the signs all around us. We know we're getting closer to that day. None of us know when that day will be, so we need to be in a perpetual state of readiness. And you know, sometimes people, they might say, well, what if I spend my entire life waiting for the Lord to come back and he doesn't? Won't that be a life wasted? No, it won't. That's a very good way to spend your life. You know, just because you're waiting for the Lord to come back doesn't mean you have to be sad all the time. We're occupying till he comes. We're staying busy. We have joy through the Lord, and we're looking forward to that day. You know, some people, even people who claim to be Christians, they're terrified at the thought of the Lord returning. And you shouldn't be, because it's actually a wonderful thing. It's the thing we're all hoping for. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We want to see his face. Praise the Lord. So in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is going to tell another parable. And this one stresses the importance of being ready for his return. Matthew 25 verse 1 tells us, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." And of course, at this time, what it's referring to, they had customs in that day, and these virgins, these 10 virgins, are part of the bridal party that would go out to meet the groom right before the wedding. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And in those wedding parties, if you didn't have a lamp burning, it was assumed that you didn't belong, that you were an imposter, and you would be thrown out of that wedding party. You know, just trying to sneak in there. But if you had no oil, you didn't belong there. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So they were all asleep. They were waiting for this bridegroom to come. And the midnight hour approached. And in verse 6 it tells us, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Those 5 foolish virgins, they didn't have any oil left. Their lamps burned out. And of course, we know that in some cases in the scripture, the Holy Ghost is represented by oil, and we do need that oil of the Holy Ghost. And if you run out of that oil, you're not going to be ready when the Savior comes back. When Jesus comes back, you're not going to be ready to meet him if you don't have that oil. Verse 9, "But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." So they're telling those 5 foolish virgins, you better go out and try to buy some before he gets here, or we're going to see that didn't work. Verse 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Once that door was shut, the others could not get in. It was too late. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. He's telling them, I don't know you. I don't recognize you. You don't belong in this party. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We always need to be alert. We always need to be watching. Because we don't know when the Savior is coming, and it could be any time. We're seeing the signs unfold. We're seeing the condition of our world today. And there are so many things we could talk about, so many scriptures we could go to in reference of today. But I have no doubt in my mind that He is coming soon. Verse 14, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So we're going to see this is a very similar story to the one we just read in Luke 19. And you know, I know a lot of people think that in the Gospels you'll find similar portions of scriptures, in the first three in particular, the Synoptic Gospels. And they think, well, maybe it's just the author telling it a little different. But I think what might have happened is, and Jesus probably told these stories more than once, and in some cases he might have told them a little different than he did at other times. You know, we don't have a record of everything that Jesus said, but I think that very well could be the case, which could explain why there are some subtle differences between these two stories and in other similar passages in the scriptures as well. But we're seeing in this rendition of the story, instead of pounds, it talks about talents. Verse 15, And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And of course we know that a talent is a unit of money, that's what it's referring to there. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them 5, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Again, we see that fear, that inaction. He didn't do anything with that talent. He just buried it. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. You know, to us it does seem like a very long time has passed since Jesus was here, but of course in the eyes of God, it hasn't been that long, because 1,000 years is as one day. So in the Lord's reckoning, it's been about 2 days since Jesus was here on earth.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh, to hear the Lord Jesus say those words to us, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we all want to hear. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I love the way he says that, the joy of thy Lord. We enter into that joy when we get to heaven. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. So he didn't do anything. He just buried it. And he gave that talent back. And that displeased the Lord. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I had not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. And you know, people might say, well, he only had one talent. If he had put that in a bank, it wouldn't have gained very much. It would have just been a little bit, but something's better than nothing. He didn't have anything to show for it. Take therefore the talents from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see here the consequences of an action. You know, that faith that Jesus gives us, or in this case, in the story represented by these talents, you got to do something with it. Don't just sit there like a bump on a log, doing nothing. We got to do something for the Lord. And maybe sometimes you might be wondering what the Lord wants you to do. Well, ask Him. If you ask Him, He'll show you. I believe that. Praise the Lord. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. You know, in this world, people, spiritually speaking, they're either goats or they're sheep, one or the other. And you don't want to be a goat. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. You know, I think it's kind of funny the way it works out, how the Democratic Party, they're always known as the left. They tend to be a little more evil than the right, but of course we know that the Republicans have their problems too in this country, especially these days. But it's just kind of funny, you know, the goats on the left. Yep, and in Congress, that's where the Democrats sit, on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We have an inheritance from the Lord Jesus. When He adopted us into His kingdom, we had an inheritance, and we're going to receive that inheritance on that fine day when He comes back to get us, or perhaps if we go on before others, before His coming. But we do have an inheritance, and that inheritance is eternal life. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came in unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So, you know, people might wonder sometimes, well, what can I do? Well, that's one thing you can do. Help people who need help. If you see somebody who's hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them water. If they need clothes, give them clothing. If they're sick, visit them. If they're in prison, visit them. There are things we can do. There are ways we can help people. And if you read these scriptures, it actually calls this work a ministry. So there's something we can all do. And we must occupy till He comes. We must do something. And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Everlasting fire. You know, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't the original purpose of hell for humans to go there. But if you follow the devil and his angels, that's exactly where you're going to end up. So make sure you're not following them. Follow Jesus. For I was a-hungered and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a-hungered or a-thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. You know, when you help someone, give them food if they're hungry, water if they're thirsty, clothes if they need clothes, it's as if you're doing it for the Lord Jesus himself. Wouldn't we all do that for the Lord Jesus? Verse 46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Praise the Lord. We all need to be busy and occupied until he comes, because Jesus is coming, and we don't want to suffer the embarrassment of having done nothing when we finally see Jesus face to face. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? We have to stand before the Lord Jesus and tell him we didn't do anything. He is coming, and he's coming soon. We need to be aware of that. Why don't we go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and Peter's going to tell us a little something about the coming of the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So Peter is telling them, I'm writing this letter, this epistle to you, as a way for you to remember, to call things to your mind, things that you'll remember what I told you, what I taught you. So this is a letter of remembrance, I guess you could say, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Are there any scoffers out there today?
Yeah.
You know, most of the churches these days, they don't believe the Lord is coming soon. Not anymore. They don't believe that. They're not occupying till he comes. They're not waiting and watching for the Lord. They're not keeping themselves ready to meet Jesus and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They said, things just continue, and they're going to continue this way forever. I know some people might actually believe that, but that's sure not going to happen. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So Peter is calling to their remembrance the flood in Noah's day that destroyed the earth. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So he's telling them, I guess you could say he's telling us, because we're also included in the audience for this epistle. He's telling us that next time it's going to be fire, not water. And yes, this world will perish. And some people, they might read that and they think, oh, that's horrible. God's going to destroy the earth? How could he do such a thing? But I tell you what, man has been doing a pretty good job of destroying the earth, so when Jesus comes back, there's not going to be a whole lot left to destroy. And you know, sometimes it's kind of like an old building, an old dilapidated building. You know, there's nothing they can do with it anymore, so they condemn it, and they destroy it, and that's going to be the condition of this world when Jesus comes back. It will be condemned. And there's going to be nothing else to do but destroy it. But the good news is, there's a new heavens and a new earth. This isn't the only one. He's making a new one for us. Praise the Lord. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You see that? I know I mentioned that earlier. In the eyes of God, it's as if just 2 days have passed since Jesus was here on earth, God manifest in the flesh, wearing a body.
Oh.
Just 2 days. Really, it hasn't been that long. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know, people might wonder sometimes why He hasn't come back yet. And it's His mercy, and it's His grace that He hasn't come back, because He's still waiting for some. He knows that are His, and He's still waiting for some who will still repent. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's what's going to happen to this planet. And I guess you could say that would be global warming, because the whole globe is going to warm quite a lot, and there's nothing anybody's going to be able to do to stop it. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And I like the way he puts that the coming of the day of God. What is he saying here? It's God who's coming back, but yet we know it's Jesus. So what he's telling us is Jesus is God.
Amen.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
A whole new earth, a whole new heavens. And you might wonder, well, what's it going to be like there? And we don't know everything about heaven. We're given little previews here and there in the scriptures. But if you want to try to imagine what it's going to be like, just imagine this world without any sin.
Yeah.
And there are so many things we have in this world that we have to have because of sin. You know, in the new heavens and the new earth, there's not going to be any lawyers or judges or police officers or hospitals or doctors. We're not going to need any of that. So just, I know it's hard to imagine, but just try to imagine this world without any sin, and you can start to gain a picture of what that new heavens and new earth is going to be like.
Oh.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. We don't want to be spotted. We don't want to be wicked. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the late error, or with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So he's telling them to be on alert for error. Watch out for that error, because there's a lot of error in this world today. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. Jesus is coming back. Peter tells us of that. And you know, sometimes it just seems like it's taken so long. What's taken so long? Even so, come Lord Jesus. We all want to see him, but it's only his mercy. That's the reason he hasn't come back yet, because there are still some people out there who are going to be saved. Praise the Lord.
Oh,
we know At the end of this chapter, Peter mentioned Paul and some of the things he said about the end of the world, I guess you could call it. So we're going to look at some of the things that the Apostle Paul said about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." So he's telling them, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried about it, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter asked from us. And yes, there are false epistles, forgeries out there that some people, they count as scriptures, but they are not. So you got to watch out for that. And I believe God knew what he was doing when he put together this Bible. But a lot of those extra books they have out there, those are forgeries. Some of them are forgeries of they claim Old Testament times, and others, well, false epistles and so forth, false letters. You don't have to be troubled by those false letters. Praise the Lord. And really, we shouldn't be troubled at the thought of the Lord Jesus returning anyway, because it's a joyful thing. It's something we all long for, to see Jesus face to face. But he's telling them, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And you know, there have been a lot of so-called prophets and so forth who have risen up over the years, and they claimed that Jesus would be coming back at a certain time on a certain day, and guess what? Every single one of them have been wrong. But undoubtedly, there will be more who do that, and there will be more gullible people who fall for it. It's a very sad thing. Some people, I know that there is a man by the name of Harold Camping a few years ago, he predicted that a rapture would happen on a certain day. It didn't. But there were people who followed him, followed that man, and they sold everything they had. And then they had nothing. So we see, you know, you can get yourself into trouble if you follow after men like that. But we know, the scriptures clearly tell us that no one knows the day or the hour. So if anybody tells you they know the day or the hour, if anybody tells you they know when Jesus is coming back, you know that they're wrong. The scriptures warned us of that in advance. Jesus told us that, so we don't need to worry about that. And the scriptures actually tell us that Jesus will come back at a moment we're not expecting. So if someone says that he's coming back at a certain time, you could be absolutely certain he will not come at that time. You see how that works. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now people, they'll read that and they say, "Oh, see, we don't have anything to worry about, because yeah, Jesus will come back eventually, but it's not going to be until the falling away, and it's not going to be until that son of perdition is revealed." Well, I got news for you folks. That falling away is happening now. I just recently wrote a newsletter, the June issue. I called it The Time of the Falling Away. And we just mailed it on Friday. So if you're on the mailing list, you should be getting your copy soon if you haven't already. But yes, we are living in the time of the falling away. We're watching it happen now. It is happening now. There is a Presbyterian pastor out there by the name of John Shuck, and this man is unique. He's unique because not only is he a minister in the Presbyterian church, he's also an atheist. A proud atheist, well, a proud atheist and a proud minister, actually, and if you tell him that he's not a genuine Christian, he takes offense at that. That upsets him. But I've got a quote in this newsletter from something he said, and I think it's very telling, it's very revealing about where we are in time. This is what this so-called minister had to say. "I believe one of the newer religious paths could be a beliefless Christianity. In this sect, one is not required to believe things. One learns and draws upon practices and products of our cultural tradition to create meaning in the present. He further went on to say, beliefless Christianity is thriving right now, even as other forms of the faith are falling away rapidly. Many liberal or progressive Christians have already let go or de-emphasized belief in heaven, that the Bible is literally true, that Jesus is supernatural, and that Christianity is the only way. Yet, they still practice what they call Christianity. You know, they might call it Christianity, but that is not Christianity. But that's really very interesting and very revealing that he used those very words, falling away. And he says it's happening rapidly right now. And I believe he's right about that. That's probably the only thing he's right about. The falling away, it's happening right now. And you know, if you read this newsletter, there are churches in this country who are out there promoting Planned Parenthood today. They're promoting abortion. They're having fundraisers. There's a church in Kansas that had an event called Chili for Choice. They sold chili to raise funds for Planned Parenthood. So they're promoting the slaughter of babies in the churches. And in other churches, they're preaching sermons against global warming and climate change. And the EPA just started a grant. They funded a grant to study those churches so they can figure out how to partnership with churches to preach the climate change agenda. That's going on right now. And we've got churches all over this country today who are accepting the homosexuals, and they're even willing to do same-sex marriages now. In fact, there's a church in Beaver Dam, a Lutheran church, which recently just voted to perform same-sex marriages in Beaver Dam. Little Beaver Dam. They had a vote on it. The vote was overwhelmingly in favor of it. So I guess they decided they were going to vote in contrary nature to God's word, because we know that Jesus specified without any doubt that marriage is between one man and one woman. But I guess they didn't care about that. So yes, we are living in the time of the falling away. The falling away is happening right now. Well, people might say, okay, the falling away is happening now. Well, what about that man of sin, the son of perdition? He hasn't been revealed yet, so the coming of the Lord, that must be a while yet. Well, we don't know when the coming of the Lord is going to be, and we don't know when that man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to be revealed. But I'll tell you one thing, it may not take very long. And we should take note of that word revealed there. He's going to be revealed to God's people. It's not going to be discovered. There's no studying, research you can do to figure out who it is. It will be revealed by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have any oil in your lamp, you're not going to be privy to that discovery, that revelation. You got to have that oil of the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit dwelling inside you. Otherwise, you're not going to know when the Son of Man, or the Son of Perdition, that man of sin, is revealed. You will not know. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And it's very possible that this man, whoever he is, exists right now. That a lot of the things we're seeing happening, you know, it could be a pope, but we're not going to speculate. It's possible, I suppose. But it's very possible that whoever this man is, he might be alive at this very moment. So, when people say the coming of the Lord must be off in the distance somewhere, this revelation of this son of perdition, it could happen so fast. It doesn't take a long time for that revelation to take place. So, don't be fooled into thinking that the coming of the Lord could be way off in the distance. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, this son of perdition, which is often referred to as the Antichrist, he will be revealed. Of course, he definitely will be Antichrist, but we need to be mindful of the fact that there are many Antichrists out there already. And anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is an Antichrist. The scriptures tell us that. And there are a lot of people who do that, so there are a lot of Antichrists running around out there. There's not just one. We need to be aware of that. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming will destroy that man of sin, that son of perdition. Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So, you know, just because someone's doing signs and wonders, don't fall for it. It tells us that that man of sin will be doing signs and wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know, if you want to be saved, you have to have a love of the truth. And where does the truth come from? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You must believe in the Lord Jesus. You must take his words to heart. He is the truth, and he is the only source of truth we have. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. Do you think there's strong delusion in the world today, and a lot of those churches? Hey, if you've got churches out there that are fundraising for Planned Parenthood, they think it's a wonderful thing, and you got churches out there that let the gays come in and get married, yes, I would say there's strong delusion when they think that those are wonderful things. Yes, there's strong delusion today, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you don't believe the truth, you will be damned. That's what the scriptures tell us. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father. Notice the way that's written, the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God. In other words, he's saying Jesus Christ is God, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So yes, Jesus is coming back, and we have that hope of his promise, the promise of his coming. We look forward to that day, but I tell you what, until that day comes, we've got to occupy. Until he comes, we got to stay busy for the Lord. Do whatever we can for the Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy scripture. We thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the many lessons thou hast taught us in the scripture. And we pray that we would always be ready to meet thee. For we know not when that day may come. Let us always be mindful of thee and prepared to see thy face. We ask, O God, for thy sustaining power, for thy Holy Ghost. We ask for that oil of the Holy Ghost to be upon us, to sustain us in these days ahead. For we know that without thee we will not make it. We need thy strength to endure. And we ask, O God, for that strength. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst keep us busy for thee, that we may occupy until you come. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to sing a chorus in closing. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing number 85 in the chorus book, Give Me Oil in My Lamp. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, the King. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.